for his glory. For his glory. You know that everything you do, if you're a follower of Jesus, everything about your life, victories, trials, difficulties, we belong to Jesus. Doesn't the scripture say he works out everything for the good of those who love him? It's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. Do you live your life that way? Do you live your life with that kind of a mindset? Oh, I'm going through this, or oh, what's that that's going on? It's for his glory. It's for his glory. From him, Romans tells us, from him and through him and for him. From him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. From him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to flip to the next screen. That's not yet. And here's the context of that passage. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And in my Bible, that's called a doxology. I don't know what everybody's church background is, but I grew up in the Methodist church. And every service, we sang, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And that was called the doxology. And as a kid growing up, I had no idea what any of it meant. But when I came to know Jesus at age 20, those words had meaning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, because I was experiencing what that was. Praise him, all creatures. That's all of us here below. Praise him above everything, everything. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And also growing up in church, I had no idea who the Holy Ghost was. We never talked about him. Never talked about him. But it was called a doxology, and it's just simply by definition, it's of importance. It's a conclusion. It's a concluding statement that he deserves the glory. All praise to him. All praise to him. All praise to him. For him, through him, and from him are all things. To him be the glory forever. So this message grew out of an experience about a month ago. I mentioned it the weekend that it happened. I got to do a service here, a memorial service up at the pavilion, and it was for Sandy Sawhill's grandson, Charles Shacklock, 32-year-old father of three who was killed in a car accident. Suddenly, he had gone to California just to get away for a vacation, and it was a head-on collision, and he was killed quickly. And I had the service here, and we had it up there at the pavilion, and didn't know what to expect in terms of who might all be there or how many people might be there. I was thinking it would be maybe 20, 30 people. And as I sat up there, I think we said we're going to start at 9:30. I got here about 10 to 9. And it was pretty much as soon as I got here, cars started coming in. Cars started coming up here. And most of the people weren't from here. Sandy's family was here, of course, but most of them weren't from here. I have no idea where most of them are in their relationship with Jesus. It was a lot of crowd of young people. And as I sat up there, cars kept coming in, kept coming in, kept coming in, kept coming in. And And I knew Holy Spirit was up to something. He's always up to something. He always has way more planned than what we might expect or think. And I think this is in His sovereignty and in His mercy, but it's also just who He is. He chooses only to reveal to us enough to not freak us out, probably. I don't know all the reasons He hasn't told me, but I'm just speaking for myself. But so I'm sitting up there and I'm just watching car after car after car. And I think I said this that weekend. You know, everybody's tattooed, and there's plus people smoking cigarettes, and just this is grieving family. And I sat there realizing what a privilege that I had during that time to tell this group of people about the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the simplicity of Jesus, the comfort of Jesus in their loss. And so as I'm sitting there, and we were here from, again, I was here 10 to 9. I don't think we left here till about 10 to 1. And the whole, Sandy's daughter, her whole goal with the thing was to just be able to bring CJ's friends together to talk, to love on one another, and that's what was unfolding. That was what was happening. They were just caring for one another as I just spoke. It was very informal, but there was something tangible in the atmosphere, and I could sense it. I could experience it. I could tell, and I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew that God was there, and He was ministering, and He was pouring out, and He was doing things in this group of people who were hurting and looking for answers and just needing something to grab onto. And as the day was sort of the afternoon was beginning, and we were kind of winding things down, and again I'm sitting there and I'm contemplating, Lord, there's something about being up here in this location. There's something about looking over the property. There's something about this that I'm remembering something, and that had been spoken over us. And so I had remembered, I think it was our very first year of August Overflow. August Overflow, for those that don't know, is a community event we do here where we open up the property and we give out stuff, school supplies and clothing and food, and we have bounce arounds and produce from the second harvest. We do a lot of different things. And that was our first year of that event. And we had a speaker. We actually, first Overflow was a weekend. It was a whole weekend. And we had a speaker, and the speaker was Bill Thamelaris. He's from Covenant Church in Pittsburgh. And he spoke something to us, and I couldn't remember exactly what his word was. That afternoon, I've been thinking about the service all day, all that next day. And I messaged Pastor Ben. I said, can you remind me of what Bill Thamelaris told us that day? Because it was relevant. He's referenced it a few times, and I knew a little bits of it, but he basically said, his word to us was that we, Abundant Life, people of Abundant Life, you are going to be declaring, this is your God. This is your God to people who are coming on the property. People who are coming on the property, by our words and by our actions, we're going to be declaring, this is your God, and that God was going to use this property for His glory. For His glory. And when he sent me that, I was like, that is exactly what I was experiencing up there, that His glory, nothing about me, it was just His work to a hurting people as we're sitting up there, and again, car after car is coming in, one after another, young people, he's pouring out His glory for a purpose that only He knows, but that's what He was doing. And I was just reminded that He told us those years ago, it would have been about 13 years ago, 12, 13 years ago, built through Bill Thamelaris, we're going to be declaring to people, this is your God. This is your God. This is your God, people, who comforts you in your loss. This is your people. This is your God who loves you. Who loves you and will never love you any more today than He will tomorrow or ever. His love is always, always, always complete. We don't know how to receive that always. And we certainly we grow and learn things about Him, but His love is never in short supply. It's never, we can't ever earn it. It's not like, okay, now I'm going to surrender to you and follow you and now you'll love me more. No, His love is always there. That's what I got to tell these people. And it was for his glory. It was for his glory. And he was pouring that out that day. He was pouring that out that day. And I don't know if they knew it. I don't know that I even knew it initially. I just knew something tangible was going on. This is your God. This is your God. And we, as part of this body, get to be part of that equation. We're not just the recipients of it. We're not just the recipients of his love and his grace and his provision and all those things. No, we get to be purveyors of it then. We get to spill that out to others to say, this is your God. This is your God who loves you. This is your God who has things for you. This is your God. That's for his glory. It's for his glory. I was thinking, so then last Friday, not this past Friday, the Friday before, you know, we were up with the remnant. The remnant had their kind of concluding regular weekly summer gathering. We got to pray, and I talked about that a little bit last week. And so I'm experiencing the same thing. Completely different setting, completely different group of people. But there was a tangible, compelling, palpable presence, his glory. So this group of young people that came are coming together for no other reason than to give him honor, to give him praise, to lift up his name. So the Lord's reminding me. So then, over the past four weeks, I've done a little class here called ALF 101, just kind of introducing newer people to the church, our history, things we've gone through. And so, you get to tell the story of George Welker, you know, George Welker Jr. You get to tell the story of how two of our people gave parts of their lobes of their lungs for one of our own. Got to tell the story of Pastor Pauline collapsing right here and dying, yet living, still living today. Got to tell the story of Jay Radman moving here from California after a horrendous experience happened to his wife. And he came here a broken, broken man. Got to tell the story of Ben Cope walking in the doors, mother bringing him here desperate for something to happen in her son's life. Got to tell the story. Story after story after story of things that took place on this property. And the Lord reminded me, it's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. Everything the Welkers have gone through, everything Steve went through and Ian went through, it's for his glory. It's for his glory. It's for his glory. Everything that we witnessed here together as we watched Pauline in front of our own eyes, die but then live. It's for his glory. It's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. There was a part of that history, a young lady who many of you probably don't even know the name anymore. Some of you will remember hearing the name, Krista Blake. Krista Blake was a poster child in Columbiana County for the AIDS epidemic at its very start. And she ended up here. She ended up here. She ended up surrendering her life to Jesus. And we got to minister to this young woman who was in the newspapers and interviewed by every media outlet that was around at the time. But it was all for his glory. It was all for his glory. And it reminded me, again, of the mission that we have in this body. The mission that we have of this body is to declare to everybody, anywhere and everywhere, but especially as they're coming on this property, this is your God. This is your God, and it's for his glory. It's for his glory. It's for his glory. So, from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory. So on Tuesday, our own dear young one, Grace Maltonic, had surgery. Grace Maltonic, teenage girl, and her mom posted this on Facebook. Her mom, Kathy, posted this Tuesday morning. Today, my baby went into surgery for the first time ever. If you know me, you know that this did not sit well with me. So I did what I do. I found a small garden area to sit and wait and pray. And as I sat on the bench, I looked down at my feet and I saw a stone. And I know that I know that he was with her in that ER, but he was also with me in that garden. He was revealing things to me. 40 minutes later, way too early, I was told that she was done and the doctor would be out to talk to me. Here's the upshot. He could not find the tears in her meniscus that the MRI had showed was there. He could not find the tears in her meniscus that the MRI showed were there. Yea, Jesus. This is her. And me too. And all of us. They did find three tissue issues. This is me paraphrasing now. Three tissue issues, which they took care of. Her recovery time has gone from 6 to 8 months to 6 to 8 weeks. The events of this past week and today were awesome reminders that Jesus does not let go of his own. For him, and through him, and from him, to him be the glory. To him be the glory. To him be the glory. As I read that, I thought of this verse from John. As he went along, he saw a man, this is Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed on him. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. For his glory, for his glory, for his glory. Things happen to us. Things happen in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about things that happen to us because of our own disobedience. I'm not talking about things that happen to us because of sin. There are consequences to sin, and things are going to, there's going to be a response to things. We can't ever think that we're fooling God. We'll always be an imperfect people, but we have an advocate for that. So I'm not talking about things that happen as a result of our own, and I'll just say it's stupidity. But even as followers of Jesus, things happen to us. Things happen to us. He says, this happened to me that the works of God might be displayed. The works of God might be displayed. You live your life again with that mindset that if something's gone awry or something, I'm going through something that I didn't think I'd have to go through, he's up to something. He's up to something. You can count on him. You can count on him. He may not tell you everything he's up to. He may tell you bits and pieces. But he's up to something that'll ultimately be for his glory. For his glory. So interesting. Try to define glory. Just try to define it. Biblical scholars have no sense of consensus on how to define glory. It's hard to define. It's hard to define, but I'll tell you what, when you begin to experience and live in it, you know it. You know it. You know it. And it's interesting, it's hard to define, but it's tangible when you're experiencing it. And so when I'm saying it's for his glory, I'm not just talking about it's for his praise, and we sing a song, he deserves the glory, and he always does. But I'm not just talking about he deserves the applause and he deserves praise. No, when I'm saying it's for his glory, it's because he's going to display something that's tangible, that he wants somebody to get a hold of, that he wants to land on our hearts and our minds. Something that's beyond just praise and beyond just thanks and beyond just something he deserves. No, it's not just something to him. It's something that he is pouring out. And it's tangible. And it's life-altering. And we have the privilege, and we have been doing this, of experiencing it over and over and over and over again. And so whatever he's doing in you, it's for the display of his glory. I did this message a while back, quite a long time ago, for the display of his splendor. And I believe that's part of this equation, is he's displaying his glory. Is he's doing something in these lives. your life, my life, anybody comes on the property, we get to say, this is your God. He's pouring something out. He's adding something to the mix that changes us. And he's continually adding to that, increasing. And we'll get to a passage before I'm done here that talks about that. Ephesians 3:16, I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And so I was looking at this verse, and of course we read that verse many times, looked at it many times, but something else jumped out at me. This word glorious. It's not just the simple adjective to describe something wonderful. No, he's saying, I want God out of this, his riches that are full of himself. They're full of things about his attributes. They're full of his presence. They're full of his, in such a way, I want them to minister in your life and strengthen you with power deep inside of you that you're changed and you're continually being changed. It's not just some elaborate adjective. No, glorious means it has some attachment to it from his throne to my heart, to my mind, to your heart, to your mind, to your life, that is gripping in such a way that you can't get enough. You can't get enough. Why? Tell me why. Would Bobby and Bethany drive 12 hours to take their children to a worship event just for an experience? No, it wasn't just for an experience. They knew their children were going to experience something. And they went to a ramp thing this weekend in Tennessee. They drove there specifically so that their kids, and I'll be showing these pictures of throngs and throngs and throngs of young people. Why do they want to do that? Because when you begin to experience the glory of God, you begin to experience his presence, nothing else matters. Nothing else fills that place. And it creates a hunger. I don't want to settle for this. I don't want to settle for that. I want more. I want more. I want more. And I believe that's part of what the message is saying, why the Lord has said, I'm setting you guys apart. I'm setting you guys apart to experience my glory in ways that not only transform you, but give you something else to spill out, to say, this is your God. This is your God. And he loves you. And he has every provision for you. And the world is lying to you. The world will not tell you the truth. But I will, he says. Are you so affected by your relationship with Jesus that you're willing to be a vessel for his glory to flow through wherever you go, whatever you have to go through, whatever the cost? Ezekiel says his glory filled the temple. Guess what? Scripture says we are temples of his Holy Spirit. His glory filled the temple. Holy Spirit, fill this temple. Fill this temple. Not so that I can say, I got all the glory. It's not about that at all. No, he has it all and he gave it. He gave it. He said, let me give it to you. Let me give you some. He'll do it, not me. But we get to give away what he gave to us. But he'll do it. It's his work. The scriptures say the whole earth is full of his glory. We sang it this morning. Glory fill this place. You are awesome. And he is. The whole earth is full of your glory. That's from Isaiah. David writes in the Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. Over and over and over again, the scriptures talk about this glory, this mysterious sometimes glory that, again, hard to define. But as we experience what that looks like, what that feels like, it's not just a feeling. I don't want to get caught up in just feelings because it's so much deeper than some high or some low. Philippians, my God will meet all of your needs according to your riches. Where? In glory. In glory. It's not just eternity. It's not just there's something tangible about what he gives to us that has glory attached to it. But we have, I believe what he's part of what he's calling us to in this day, in this set apart word in 2021, he says, I want you to reverence my glory. I want my people to reverence my glory. I want us to understand that he doesn't just pour it out willy-nilly. I remember, I don't know how many years ago this was. Holly Guy was doing the announcements. She was doing the announcements, and we sang, when you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. All this is for you, Jesus. All this is for you, Jesus. So we sang that during worship. It was awesome. I mean, it was just amazing. It was an amazing time of worship. But I think it must have been the last song before she came up to do announcements. So she came out to do announcements. And I don't know. We probably had three or four. I think we were three or four. There was quite a list that day. But it was awesome because right on the spot, that song, you know, she was ministering to her in the song and she's reading these announcements. I don't remember what any of them were. But after each one, she said, all this is for you, Jesus. Whatever we were doing, all this is for you, Jesus. All this is for you, Jesus. All this is for you, Jesus. And as a reminder to me again, everything we do ever, it's for his glory. It's for his glory. It's for his glory. It's for the display of his glory. It's for him to, yes, get the praise, but it's bigger than him just getting praise. And that's awesome. That alone is plenty. It's good and wonderful, and he always deserves it. But no, in the middle of it, he's doing something with that glory. He's pouring it out. And when we grab onto it, when we grab onto it and receive it and let it break us, let it mold us, let it shape us, I believe there's an equipping that goes on when we respond to the outpouring of his glory. There's an equipping that goes on where you can go through anything. Anything. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to go through stuff. You already know that because you already have. But do we equate it that I went through that for his glory? For his glory. That he might show his glory in the middle of that or after that or seeing you through something. So, 2 Corinthians. We have a hope. We have a hope. We're bold. If the ministry that brought death, which is engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? That's the ministry we get to engage in. That's the ministry we are not only recipients of, but purveyors of. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And that's what transitory came with. That's what was transitory came with glory. How much greater is the glory of that which lasts? That which lasts. And we're talking about stuff that lasts. What we're encouraging, pour it out. It lasts. It sticks. As we respond. If I ignore it, or neglect him, or do my own thing, he still loves me. He still loves me, but I'll miss the outpouring. I'll miss the deposits. I'll miss the nuggets of, here's what I want you to do. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are bold. We are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. With ever increasing glory. We're living in a day of ever increasing glory if we're paying attention. 13 years ago, Bill Thamelera said, we're going to be declaring to people who come on this property, this is your God. This is your God. This is your God. It's for his glory. It's not about attention to us. It's not about credit. It's not about, that was a good message. It's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. Again, not just to say it's all for your praise, Jesus. It is, for sure. But there's something attached that's spilling out, that is tangible, where you can look at somebody or hang out with somebody for a while and know you're different. You're different even than you were last week. What's happening? Ever-increasing glory. I don't want to squander it anymore. I don't want to rest on last week's victories. I don't want to rest on last week's provisions. I want to keep tapping in. I want to keep bowing down. I want to keep worshiping. I want to keep digging deeper. I want to keep moving forward in this walk. R.T. Kendall told us in our Holy Fire study, how many years ago now? 5-6 years ago. How far are you willing to go in your relationship with Jesus? You want to settle for where you are? God loves you. It's for his glory. We are being transformed. You are being transformed. Whatever it takes, whatever you have to go through, if you're surrendered to Jesus, he's going to see you through. He's going to make provision for you beyond what you can think or imagine if you belong to Jesus, if you surrendered to him. Friday night, a bunch of guys got together, went camping, just right here in town, Steve Wellman's property, about 30 guys. 30 guys came at various times throughout Friday night, Saturday. And it was one of those nights, nothing particularly about it that was, we didn't have Bible study all weekend. We didn't worship all weekend. We had a little bit of a study, but I'll tell you what, because we're followers of Jesus, he's in us. Our heart is for him. We gather in his name. We gather to bring him glory. We gather for that reason. But we just hung out. And we talked and we played and we laughed and we... But even in that atmosphere, even in that setting, again, nothing overtly spiritual about it, His glory was present. Somebody told me they were there Friday night, and then they went home, and in their neighborhood there was something else going on, like a party of some kind. And he said, the contrast in atmosphere was stark. And again, we were just hanging out together. It wasn't a worship service. It wasn't a Bible study. It wasn't a prayer meeting. And we're not all that. We're just guys. But Jesus lives in us. And Jesus is stirring in us, and He's doing things in us. And that's palpable. It's tangible. That when you leave that and then walk through another setting to get to your home, it's a contrast. So yeah, we gathered, but it's all for His glory. It's all for His glory. It's all for His glory. We love You, can't get enough. That's what that song says. We love You, can't get enough. All this is for You, Jesus. And He loves to respond to that. Say, oh, get ready. Get ready. Because I got more. I've got more. Things are opening up. Events are starting to return. As I was adding things to the sign this week, to our sign out front, I want to encourage you that as we're moving forward, being set apart, that it is not business as usual. It is not business as usual. I want every one of us sitting in this room to have an expectation of more. More of Him. More of Him. More opportunities to tell people, this is your God. This is your God. As I sat up there doing that service that day, and I've contemplated this over and over and over again, I had nothing from my own experience to offer any of those people. Nothing of my own life experience to offer any of those people in terms of what they've been through in their lives. But the only thing I had to offer them was my Savior. The only thing I had to offer them was a love of Jesus that I knew, I had no doubt of His love for them that was rich and powerful, and I had every bit of confidence to be able to tell them that. Even though they could look at me and think, you don't know anything about my life. You've never lived anything near my life. And that's absolutely true. And I sometimes look at those situations and say, Lord, how do I get here? How did I get here to be the person who gets to sit before them and minister the love of Jesus to them? Well, it's for His glory. And you may think you have nothing. You may be sitting here today and say, I could never do that, or I can't relate to that person, or I can't. Some of you are going to be finding yourselves in situations where you're going to be the voice. You're going to be the one. And I got Thomas sitting there smiling because he's sitting there thinking, yeah, I've been doing things I said I'd never do and never thought I'd be doing. But it's all for His glory. His glory is being displayed in this man. His glory is being displayed in this man who said, I can't read publicly. I can't pray publicly. I can't speak publicly. And yet he is every week for his glory. Yes, both for his praise, but there's something tangible about what is spilling out that every one of us who's in the room latches onto. We're the beneficiaries of the glory of God being displayed in a man's life. And I'll just reiterate, all of this happened as his kids and his wife came home from the RAMP conference a couple of years ago and were affected by what the Lord was doing there. It was something tangible, something palpable, something... Okay. It's okay.
I've been sitting here since like worship this morning, and everything that like from like when Connie was praying and speaking and singing through your whole sermon, God's like, are you gonna? He's testing me to see if I'm still willing to step out. And through this whole thing, he's been like, you're gonna share, you're gonna go, you're gonna step up, you're gonna say what I told you to say. So I obviously like
here you are.
Here I am. Because you said, like, you don't, like, I don't know, you just said something a minute ago, like, and I'm listening to your sermon, but, like, everything that you say, anyhow. So I'm praying this morning over the salvation basket, because, yeah, we had a great moment with myself and our kids, and then COVID, and things kind of derailed, and we're struggling as parents with some certain things, but, and I'm praying over the salvation basket, and God's saying, keep praying for this basket, even if it's not Sunday. You don't have to be here to pray for this basket.
Yes.
And he's telling me, I am the champion.
Yep.
I've never been defeated.
Yep.
So
yep.
Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, doesn't matter. Pray for this basket. And you're going to see.
Yes.
You're going to see my glory.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that has to do with your service.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Woo! Yep. Yep. Don't let something that appears to be derailed defeat you. Don't let something that appears to have gone a different direction than what it was heading stop you from trusting in our God to still bring about what He promised. Because He is not a God who changes His mind. He's not a God who's shifting directions. We do, man does. And we have disappointments and there's things that happen. But ultimately, it's going to be for His glory. Ultimately, it's going to be for His glory. And you were obedient. And you stepped out. And you spoke what He told you. It's for His glory. It's for His glory. It's everything about your walk. You live. It becomes a mindset. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. Are you willing to be inconvenienced? Or do you have your ducks in a row? I'm a guy who likes my ducks in a row, but I've kind of thrown that out. Because I want more. And as long as my ducks were in a row, I was saying this far and no further. Or like, tell me the whole program first before I step into it. Well, it doesn't work that way. You step out into these things and you trust Him as you do. And He is faithful. He is faithful to a fault. Are you ready? Are you ready? It will not be about you. It will not be about your talents. It will not be about your gifts, although they'll be used. It will not be about your weaknesses. It will not be about your failures. He will work with both. All of that. But it'll always be to bring attention to Himself. And as He's bringing attention to Himself, there'll be things that He's spilling out. We can grab onto will be used for more of his glory, for ever increasing glory. Because we're being changed. We're being changed. We who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. I want you, as you go out of here today, as this week unfolds, I want you, make it part of your devotion time this week. Lord, I'm contemplating your glory. We with unveiled faces, we get to get up close. Unveiled faces, there's no covering, there's no blockage, there's no separation. Get with them and contemplate the Lord's glory. Whatever transformation he wants to bring, he'll do it. You don't have to make anything up or try to do it yourself. He'll do it. With ever-increasing glory. With ever-increasing glory. Remember earlier in the passage, it said their minds were made dull. Do not allow your mind in Christ to be made dull. Keep it sharp. Keep it sharp. Keep it sharp. Our Men of Valor class used to take a break for the summer. Well, last summer we were on a break during the pandemic, and we started meeting in the summer. And so we started meeting weekly during in the summer, and we met all through the fall, we met all through the winter. And here we are, it's summer, and we don't want to stop. Why? Iron sharpening iron all the time. Iron sharpening iron all the time. Our minds are not becoming dull. I know. And I've told you before, I'm in Men of Valor as a man. I'm in Men of Valor as a husband. I'm in Men of Valor as a father. I'm in Men of Valor as a grandfather. I'm not in Men of Valor as Pastor Jeff. I understand I am Pastor Jeff and that I'm there. But I'm there because I need to stay sharp. And I know part of that sharpness comes from my own devotional time, and that's important. And don't get me wrong. There's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for alone time with Jesus. But I know hanging around these guys keeps me sharp. Don't let your minds become dull. Don't let your minds become dull. We don't have veiled faces anymore. The veil has been rent. It's been broken. It's been broken. We have access. We have access. So this week, again, got an assignment. You have an assignment. Contemplate his glory. Contemplate his glory. Write it down. Say, Lord, I have no idea what that means. Maybe that's you today. I have no idea what that means. Tell him. I have no idea what this means. Let's stand. You know, we sang that song. We didn't sing it today, but I referenced it. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Do you know that because Jesus lives in our heart, when Jesus lives in our heart, when you walk in a room, not because you're all that, but when you walk in a room because Jesus lives in your heart and there's glory attached to that, there should be something about that that catches somebody off guard or like, what? What happened to you? Where have you been? Remember the experience with Jesus when they knew the people had been with Jesus? They knew the people had been with Jesus because there was something about them. There was something about the way they looked. There was something about their presence. It's like, these people have been with Jesus. We're living in a time when this group or this cause or that cause or this issue gets all the attention because they're shouting the loudest or the most often. I believe we're living in a day when it's time for the church to rise up and shine. Rise up and shine. Rise up and let the glory of Jesus be on display. And if they reject you or they criticize you or they make fun of you or they insult you or they throw stones at you, it's all for His glory. 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 Don't fear what man can do or say about you. Father, I thank You so much. In your amazing grace, in Your amazing sovereignty, glorious riches, You pour Yourself out on us over and over and over and over again. And we drink it in and we receive. And we're so grateful that we can do that. But I know You are compelling us. You are moving the lines. You're moving the lines. You're advancing. You're advancing Your people. You're advancing the troops to live our lives in ways every day, every day, every day that tell people this is Your God. This is Your God. This is His love. This is His grace. This is His mercy. This is His provision. This is His intervention. This is His wisdom. If you're hungry today, if you're hungry for more, tell Him. Tell Him. If He's telling you to take a step just as Becky did to open her mouth and speak this morning, whatever that looks like, whatever assignment He's orchestrating for you, step into it. Father, I pray blessing on this body today. I thank You so much for the privilege we have to be a part of Your work in Columbiana County and beyond in 2021. I thank You that You're setting us apart. You're setting us apart. We know that, and we allow ourselves to be set apart willingly because we know You have a bigger purpose. And I know even though You don't tell us every step of the road, You lead us step by step. Hand in hand, we're walking hand in hand, following You, following You, following You every step of the way. Let Your glory fill the temple. Let Your glory fill the temple. The whole earth be filled with Your glory. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. If anybody needs prayer today, there's people here who will pray with you. If you want to come, just kneel before the Lord and pour out your heart to Him, feel free to do that. If you want somebody to pray with you, just tell someone.